Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, we will take our reading from verse 18. Listen to this. This is God's very word to you. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Let's pray again. Our Father, we pray that You will now bless to us Your Word, that You will make our hearts good soil, receptive soil, fertile soil, that the seed will be planted in us and will yield much fruit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You children, young people, and well, likely all of us, you know what happens when you take a paper cup and you put a little soil in it and you take a bean and you pack it down into that soil and you give it water and you give it fertilizer and give it the right amount of light. You know what happens, well, because most of us have done this. You give it a couple of days and there's nothing. You give it a few more days and you see a little movement in the dirt. And a couple of days after that, and sure enough, a little sprout just pop right through the soil. Or the day before, you didn't know what was going to be there. Now, what do you think would happen if you said, when you saw that little sprout, "Great! Great, my plant's alive! I don't have to do anything anymore." And so you stopped watering it, and you didn't give it the right amount of sunlight, and you certainly didn't care about adding fertilizer. What do you think would happen to that plant? Well, you know what would happen. That plant would die. It would shrivel up, it would get crispy, and it would die. In reality, the moment that you stopped caring for that plant and purposefully trying to keep it alive, that plant began to die. Now, you don't have much at stake in a little bean in a cup, do you? We can buy bags of beans for 68 cents is the last time I looked. They may be more than that. You can tell I haven't bought groceries in a while. But you can buy a bag of beans and put them in a cup and sprout those all day long. And you don't have much at stake in that. But if you were a subsistence farmer, now that means the only way you live is by what you grow and eat. If you were a subsistence farmer trying to grow a crop for you, for your family, you would have everything at stake, because the difference between your crops thriving and growing and producing and yielding and feeding your family is the difference between life and death. You would never forget about that crop. You would never cease to try and get water and fertilizer to it. You would walk miles to try and get the right amount of water for those plants. You do everything to keep blight and all of those things away. Well, as it is, the Christian life is not like trying to grow a single bean in a little paper cup that you can keep and throw away one day, that you don't really care about. The Christian life cannot be like that. It's not something that doesn't matter. It's not something that we can take or leave. It's not simply something that we can add to our schedules and add to our weeks and make it an appendix. No, the Christian life is like subsistence farming. That everything that comes to us is meant to make us grow and thrive. And if we do not, if we fail, it's the matter of life and death. Death of a different sort. And as it is in subsistence farming, so it is in the spiritual life, the life of godliness of all men who name the name of Christ. You see, too often in our day, men and women are like that child that would say, "Great, the life has sprung up. I've got a sprout. I don't have to do anything else." There are too many people in our day who say, "Great, I have believed in Jesus. Well, I guess I'll go watch television now and I'll go do this or that and I want to put that on the shelf and not think about it anymore. After all, I'm saved by grace and kept by grace." That's what the Scripture teaches. And yes, that's true. We are saved by grace and kept by grace. But the Christian life is not let go and let God. No, the Christian life is of growth and of perseverance. You see, our text is in the middle, or at the end rather, of 2 Peter. And the theme of 2 Peter is the necessity of spiritual growth and the danger of false teaching. And our text is at the conclusion of Peter's letter. Peter's ending on the most important note, if you will. He doesn't want you to lose this in the middle. You shouldn't lose any portion of Scripture. But if you're going to lose something, it should not be this. And so he puts them in remembrance of their most important need. And in our text, the Holy Spirit gives us this command to grow. And so in our text, this command to grow demonstrates our need to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus. This command to grow demonstrates our need to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. We're going to take this up under two points this morning. Firstly, we're going to look at our need for growth. Secondly, we're going to take a look at the command to grow. Our need for growth and the command to grow. As we get into this need of growth, we need to make a very important statement. Our text is not primarily what we would call an evangelistic text. It's not telling you how to be saved. Our text is not an evangelical command. No, this letter is written to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This text is written to those who are already Christians, to disciples. And so in the first place, Peter is not saying this is how you become a Christian. But rather he's saying if you have received grace, if you have received the grace of God in Jesus Christ, then you are to grow in grace because His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. Now that we have that out of the way, what is our need for growth? The text says to us, but grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. What's indicated here? What does he mean by grow? Well, it signifies that you're not there yet. And in this life, you won't be there. There's always room to grow. The trouble comes when we think that we have arrived. Like the child with the cup, the plant comes up. I've arrived. I don't need to do anything else. That's when trouble comes to us in the Christian life. You see, the Christian life is a life of either growing or dying. The moment you stop caring for and seeking to nurture life in Christ is the moment that your soul begins to wither. And if you do not persevere, if you are not brought back in grace of God brings you to repentance, then you show that you never had real life. You were but that soil, that seed planted on that rocky soil that springs up but doesn't have deep root. You're either growing or you're backsliding. That's what this picture is pointing out to us. But grow. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You must grow, Peter is saying. We can picture this by picturing ourselves in a raft. If any of you have ever been whitewater rafting or tubing or anything like that, you know, well, that the water carries you along. But what if your destination is not where the water is going? As a matter of fact, if you go in the direction that the water is going, there's a waterfall coming. A steep drop. A deadly waterfall. What do you think you would be doing if you were in that raft? You'd be paddling, wouldn't you? You'd be doing everything you can, short of buying an outboard motor, to get yourself going in the opposite direction, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? The Christian life is like that then. It's as if we are in a raft and we need to go here, but the river is taking us here. We need to get there. We need to paddle. We would do everything we could to prevent ourselves from being taken over. So it is in the Christian life. There's no standing still. You wouldn't give up. You wouldn't just go, well, I need to rest. I need to take a moment, because there would be no stagnation. And that's the way the Christian life is. You're either moving this way, however slow, and with what little progress you can make, or you're being carried this way. And the end is not good. And that's the picture here. Another way that we can look at this is how the psalmist says it. Psalm 1. What do we read in Psalm 1? You all know it. You likely have it memorized. But it speaks of blessing in a Christian's life. It speaks of promise. But it also speaks of danger. Psalm 1 says to us, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatsoever he does prospers. Not so the wicked, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. Here's the picture. The blessed man is not the man who is just going along with the world. He is the man who meditates in the law of the Lord day and night. He's swimming this way. He's paddling this way. That's the picture. This picture gives us a more full picture than rafting. because it talks about where we need to be planted in order that we might grow. It talks about the grace of God to plant us there by the rivers of water. So then we need to grow. Because if we are not growing, well, we're shriveling up. We're drying up. And we will be driven away. So that's our need. We need growth in grace. But there's more to this text than just telling us, oh, you need to grow. It's commanding us to do so. That's our second point, the command. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word grow is an imperative. It's a command, children. When your mom says to you, clean your room, or your dad says to you, clean your room, it's not just a suggestion. It's not just going, oh, well, you need to clean your room. No, it's a command. This is like that. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This isn't a gentle pleading. This is a demand. It's a serious matter to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus. Why? Well, because as we've said, the theme of 2 Peter is growing in spiritual graces and watching out for false teachers. The text immediately before ours says this, therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given to him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable men twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of the wicked, nor stand in the path of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. That's what Peter is saying. That's what he's following in on. And so then he says, to counter that, grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow. You see, the Christian life is not, well, it's not like many in our day say, just let go and let God. Letting go and letting God is like putting a bean in that cup and never giving it water and never setting it in the light and certainly not fertilizing it. It produces nothing but death. That's a lie from charismatic circles and Quaker circles, and even there's a movement called the Higher Life Movement that sets this out. From those who teach a sinless perfectionism in our day. They say that we can cease from sin in this life. The trouble is, what they do is they give a redefinition of sin. It's just a mistake. We don't sin any longer. We make mistakes. And so we just let go and let God, and that growth will come. But the Bible nowhere teaches that we will or that we can be sinless in this life. But it does teach that we are to battle against sin. That we are to take up the sword and mortify our sins. To put to death
sin, that we are to seek to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's where we are to grow. Grace and knowledge, they go hand in hand. Grace is the fertilizer on the garden of virtues. That's what the first chapter of our book tells us. This is the theme. Peter says to Christians, to those who have obtained a like faith, that His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort. Make every effort. Be like a soldier pursuing his enemy. Pursue holiness with that sort of tenacity. Make every effort to supplement your faith with excellence or virtue, and excellence or virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The knowledge of Christ is the definition of the Christian life. Isn't it? Isn't that what Jesus prayed? He prayed to the Father in John chapter 17 and verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Grow in that knowledge, in the knowledge of Christ. You don't grow in grace without growing in knowledge, and you don't grow in knowledge without the grace of God. What about you this morning? Do you see your need to grow? Or have you said to yourself, if not in word, by your very lifestyle, I have arrived. I don't need anything else. I have arrived. What about you? Are you pursuing the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ like a soldier pursuing his enemy? Are you pursuing the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ like a subsistence farmer who knows that this is where life is found and I must cultivate it lest I die? How do we do that? Well, it's through the very thing which we looked at last week. Through the very ordinary means of grace that God has given us. Plants grow by ordinary means. They grow by sunlight, which is common to all men. They grow by rain or water, which is ordinary. We don't have to go search for some special solution, some formula that's out there and mix it ourselves. No, by water. By simple fertilizer. So we grow. We grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ in very ordinary means. Through His Word. That's the context here. We're told not to twist the Scriptures. We're told not to follow those who do, who twist them to their own damnation. But you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. Maybe I could have asked you this morning, have you given up and said, all right, I have arrived? And does it show by your lack of attention to the Word? Is your Bible gathering dust? Have you had it for years and there are still pages that stick together like it's brand new? Have you given yourself to the Word? Have you given yourself to the preached Word? But grow in grace. Some of us, we wonder why we don't see fruit in our lives, don't you? Don't you go, but I'm still struggling with this same sin. How is it that I haven't put it to death yet? There's a couple of items that are good news for you. We all grow at different rates. We all produce different amounts of fruits. But we all must grow. We all must grow. So that sometimes that sin that we see in our lives, though we see it, we hate it more. That's growth. No, we will never be fully rid of it, but sometimes we don't see fruit for other reasons. Because we've stopped making use of the means that God has given us, the Word, sacraments, and prayer. We've stopped watering it. We've stopped fertilizing our spiritual life in the Word and in prayer. And so our growth is slow. We're in a drought. You say, but farming's hard work. Farming is back-breaking work. You have to get up early. You have to do all of these chores. You have to make sure that everything is in order. And you can never rest. Farming's like shaving, men. Especially those of you who have a garden, you know this. You pull those weeds today. Looks good, right? You shave today. Looks nice. Some of us nicer than others. But you shave, and the very next day, what happens? Those weeds are back. You're starting to sprout a little more. Farming's hard work. It's sweating labor. It's back breaking labor, and that is what you have been called to. But grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Or for another analogy, the Scripture uses that of warfare and of a soldier. That's hard work. That's back-breaking, mind-bending, struggling against your enemy. And what happens if you lay down your rifle in the midst of combat? You become another statistic. But grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You see, it's easier to not do diligence to the means of grace. It's easier just to stop and give up. And the Lord knows this. The Lord knows this. He has been tempted at all points as you have, yet without sin. And He knows this, but He gives you something by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. He's given you His promises. That if you rest in Him, if you trust in Him, if you look to Him, if you make use of those means of grace, you will grow. You will grow, no matter how slight it is in your life that you see it. He will keep you. Sometimes He'll prune a branch here, And He'll prune a branch there so that you will be fruitful. You say, wait a second. Wait a second, Pastor Nick. You're talking as if the farming depends on us, and you're talking as if the farming depends on God. Yes. Yes, I am. He saves you by His grace. He keeps you by His grace. And He says to you, in light of My grace to you, pull those weeds. Add that water. Bring in that fertilizer. And you say, how long? How long am I to do this? That's a lot of work. Yes, it is. And you can stop when you get to glory. It's an imperative that's in, well, linguistically, the present active imperative, which means it's always the case. Be ever growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So what does this look like? Well, it looks like our Old Testament reading from today. Psalm 92. Psalm 92. Verse 12. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. Do you want to know how you can grow? Give yourself to the means of grace and listen carefully. They still bear fruit in old age. No matter your age, you still can grow. You still need this growth and you can still bear fruit. They still bear fruit in old age. And spiritually, they're even stronger than in their young age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Planted. Are you? Are you planted in the courts of the Lord? Or are you here and you keep one foot in the world? You're here and you want to make it an appendix to your life because this Jesus stuff sounds nice and I really don't want to die and go to hell and I don't want to face judgment. And so I will put myself partly here. But the world is calling, and I must answer. How do you know where you stand? Well, it's simple. Do you look at your Christian walk like that bean planted in a cup? It's sprouted and you're done. Or do you look at your walk like that subsistence farmer? And you know that if you don't have the grace and mercy and help of the Lord, you are undone. That's how you know. That's how you know where you stand. And so I ask you this morning, where do you stand? It's okay to toss a bean into a cup and do away with it if you have no need. You can't do that if you see that you are desperate and without hope in Jesus. Let us pray.